is not a test. This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the annual purge.
Because I just went gay all of a sudden.
Weapons of class 4 and lower have been authorized for use during the purge.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty.
Government officials of ranking 10 have been granted immunity from the purge and shall not be harmed.
There is no racial bigotry here. Here you are all equally worthless.
Commencing at the siren, any and all crime, including murder, will be legal for 12 continuous hours.
You can act like a man! What's the matter with you?
Police, fire, and emergency medical services will be unavailable until tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. when the purge concludes.
General, would you care to step outside?
Blessed be our new founding fathers and America, a nation reborn. May God be with you all.
I've said this before, you know, it's also who's the best at this, who's the best at that. And inevitably, you know, you get the names that are brought up in common circles would be like Jimi Hendrix, Eddie Van Halen, stuff like that. And I've heard people say, yeah, but there's like, you know, so-and-so can play guitar better than Eddie Van Halen. Or you listen to Orianti play the Beat It solo and she plays it really well. Or, you know, okay, my argument is always this. It's one thing to do something better than someone else that you see them do, right? So you see somebody do something and you just do it better. It's another thing entirely to invent it in the first place.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
When you take tapping, somebody yeah. like, yeah, when you take yeah. somebody like Eddie Van Halen and the hammer-ons and the pull-offs and the tapping and the way he played guitar, that was totally new and totally groundbreaking, and he invented that, and everybody else comes along and has to copy him. But wow, it is Halloween up in your house. You got sound effects and everything.
Holy crap. All right, I'm sorry. That means that cat needs fucking water or something, and she's not going to stop until I'll be right back. Wow.
Go tend to that pussy cat. Oh man.
That's funny.
That's awesome.
Oh,
go ahead.
I was going to say, I should wait until Marco gets back to read this so you can say whatever you want about cats.
No, cats are like assholes.
They're not like assholes.
They are assholes.
Small,
yeah.
Small furry assholes that live in your house.
But there is a great analogy about cats. That you should treat your woman like a cat. Let her go do her own thing. She's gonna come around when she wants some attention and let you know when she's done with you and go off and then come back.
I always heard that the psychological difference between a cat and a dog can be summed up perfectly. A dog looks at a human and says, they feed me, they give me a place to live, they give me love and affection, they take care of me, they pet me, they take me to the doctor when I'm sick, they brush me, they must be gods. And a cat goes, they feed me, they brush me, they give me a place to sleep, they take me to the vet when I'm sick, and they give me attention when I want it. I must be a god.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a pretty good sum up.
Not only did someone come to your defense and side on the elote debate, Marco.
Fuck yeah, they did, because elotes are fucking amazing. By the way, it has not arrived yet, but I actually ordered a shirt that says "Support the Street," and it's a guy selling tacos and elote on it.
Nice.
You know.
We also had a listener that said we should change our hashtag, because I was saying hashtag FAAF, even though I know that's not right. For fuck around and find out.
Right.
But he said, he or she, because I can't remember, it said that hashtag FAFO is better, FAFO, fuck around, find out.
FAFO, it's easier to say.
FAFO.
Yeah, I didn't think that fuck around and find out was going to take off like that, but I'm kind of glad it did. So
yeah.
Oh!
Well, I was, what?
Should you listen to the episode?
Yes.
No. My wife listened to the episode.
She did.
Listen to which one?
The spanking episode.
Oh, let's do a little 2-minute breakdown that.
It was like a fucking home-seeking missile. She's just like, randomly, she's like, how's your day at work? Good, blah, 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 blah. You know, like random chit-chat. What was your podcast about? I'm like,
Oh, now you want to listen? Oh, now you want to listen?
It was terrible. We were discussing women's breast size. You wouldn't like it.
Yeah, we're talking about the importance of side boob in modern
cinema,
modern times. So she was like, what was it about? I'm like, spanking. It was like, she was like, what, like, you know, doing something in the kitchen. I said, spanking.
She just whipped her head around and looked at you.
What about spank? She's like, what about spanky? It was a total Ghostbusters. Tell him about the Twinkie. What about the Twinkie? Yeah, just, so, yeah, I gotta. She was like, oh, and I was like, oh. So yeah, I was like, yeah, you know, blah blah blah. Just, you know, kind of break it down. Like, you know, we have our views on spanking. She's like, I'm sure you do. What was the general consensus, Marco? And I was like, oh.
Sounds like when Eddie Murphy was like, we talk about if you slap your girlfriend and she goes, yes, you're right, I did deserve that, why don't you just go lie down and go to sleep?
I guess, well, not surprisingly enough, you guys know my wife is a millennial. I mean, she's in an age group, but she's very liberal, but she's not orange man bad, right? In that sense, I'm just talking about like just a gauging, right? Just to give a gauge. She's not just like everything is immediately bad. It's just, you know, it's just more like us. We're just break down the individual topic. That topic was broken down.
It broken down before she listened to it, or did you have your little discussion and she listened to it and came back and then you broke it down?
I'm gonna be honest and say that I bobbed and weaved it as best as I could. She pulled the is there anything on the, if I listen to the podcast, is there anything on the podcast that I'm not gonna like? And I'm like, I don't know, listen to the podcast. I'm like,
probably. I'm sure there's something on every podcast that nobody likes.
Well, and I said we're a house divided. And I told him, like, I said we're a house divided on it. And she's like, yeah, we are. I'm like, well, yeah, we are. I'm like, right. I said we are. I'm like, yeah,
you told the truth.
I said we're a house divided. And then I told the story and then we told stories. And she's like, it was funny because she was like, I heard the podcast and there's some things I want to address. And she's like, but I'm not mad. And this is great. She's like, I'm not mad about the Sloan thing. You know, remember I told the story about like my daughter reaching for the hot, you know, for the griddle over and over again. She said, I don't know. And this is awesome because she's like, I don't know if I would have treated that any differently. She's like, I may have actually let her get a little burned, but I understand where you're coming from. It's either you or the stove is going to be the bad guy. You chose you. I'm not mad at that. To which I said, okay, awesome. But what about the poo story?
So the poo story, just to tag up on that, we got a message from a listener who said that they literally, to quote them, they almost shit their pants laughing at that story because
that would have been so poetic.
So that was your other female or feedback. So now let me ask you about your wife. Have you been informed that your opinion on spanking has changed?
No, I've been informed that that negotiations stand at broken down, and we are still at our previous peace arrangement.
Negotiations have not been reopened.
No, negotiations are definitely not reopened. As long as we both maintain our side of the borders, there will not be a turf war. You know, so I'm just saying. So I'm like, okay, I respect the delegation from the wife's side, and I validate the opinions that have been brought forth. That's where we're at.
See, my wife and I are the opposite. Like, I have to grab her and say, honey. Don't kill them too hard.
Don't leave permanent marks.
We can't make any more. We're well past the age where we can threaten to make nuke children.
But Marco, she grasped the fact that we all were in agreement that, like, the spanking isn't the go-to. Like, that's not where you start. Like, did she understand that we were saying that?
You know, she got that. Yeah, she got that. But I hope she gets a chance. She's been really busy, but she's done a lot of research about this. She's done the math. She's done the research. So she wants to write. I thought that she would have an email sent off already to us. Like a strongly
worded email,
a strong four pager. Nah, she wouldn't. Yeah, she wouldn't be talking shit. Like, she's not that person to talk shit like that. Like, not over email. She's not a keyboard warrior. She would go on live and be like, "Listen here, fucker." So I'm like, "Wow."
So we have to watch for this head appearing in the background behind you.
Yeah,
like Michael Myers.
I record this when she's at work, so yeah, we're good. No, I mean, yeah, I'm surprised that she hasn't submitted an email with factual or some case study information and rebuttals to our steadfast point of view.
Well,
for lack of a better description,
people are definitely enjoying it. So, what I thought we would do on this episode, since we always try to switch it up. And because I'm not quite ready, I've got all my notes that I'm starting to prepare for our Scientology, my tirade against Scientology. Also, people are asking for part three of QAnon. And as the people are already starting to participate in the political process via mail. So
yeah.
I thought it'd be interesting to, before we get to the beginning of November, to follow up on that and see where that's at. Because all kinds of stuff popped up when Trump tested positive for COVID and we were just talking about how, we had our super fight episode about AI versus shadow governments. And now people are saying that Skynet is really called 5G. So let's, I think we should revisit we'll have a revisiting episode soon. But in the meantime, I wanted to do something interesting today because, you know, our audience knows Matt and from previous episodes he's been on. They know me from all the episodes and they're getting to know Marco. But they know us like from our experiences in the police department and they're starting to get to know our personal lives, you know, now. So I thought we would just accelerate that process a little bit with a game of get to know your podcast members. So we have all written down anywhere between 5 and 7 questions. And we don't know what each other has written down for the most part. But it was all supposed to be like, would you rather, what would you do? Do you like kind of a get to know you questions? And we're just going to ask each other these questions and get some real on the spot live answers. So you can kind of get to know our personalities. And we all know that as soon as we start talking about these questions, it's going to lead to all kinds of nonsense and shenanigans. And if we're famous for nothing, we're famous for nonsense and shenanigans.
It's pretty well said. That's strong. That's pretty strong.
So with that being said, who wants to go for? Oh, by the way, I just want to say again, rest in peace, Eddie Van Halen. I tried as a 13-year-old kid to do all that stuff. And, you know, it's kind of like Tony Hawk. When Tony Hawk was coming up skating, nobody could do a kickflip. Now there's videos of Tony Hawk driving around telling 10-year-old kids to do a kickflip, and they all just do it on command, right? And he's like, man, that would have been impossible 25 years ago. And, you know, it's kind of the same thing. Now 10-year-old kids can play Eruption or Diver Down or You Really Got Me or any one of those things, but it's only because Eddie Van Halen came along and showed them how to do it. So rest in peace, Eddie Van Halen, the end of a rock and roll era. I think we know what our music will be. I switched out the Three Amigos last week, and I think this week we'll have to put a little tribute to Mr. Edward Van Halen.
Yes, sir.
That being said, Matt, you've got a question, I'm sure. So why don't you start us off?
Okay. Well, we'll keep a musical theme here then, since we started that off. What song will make you violently change the station or turn it off?
Like
what song comes on and you go, you go, motherfucker, no. And like, you have to change it or turn it off. Just one song. What one song?
Huh.
Wow.
Should we answer our own questions first? And then when we ask a question and then go around, or?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So mine is Stairway to Heaven.
That's strong.
Stairway to Heaven comes on. I get angry and I have to turn it off immediately.
For me, it's probably some of the more modern stuff, like Miley Cyrus came in like a wrecking ball. Like, I know that's catchy as hell to people, but when that song comes on, all I hear is like it's just screechy. Like,
but it's, are you listening to a station or a playlist where that would even come on? I mean, like something in your regular rotation of genre
I have children.
That you would listen to. Okay. Fair enough.
And there have been a couple of moments. I would have more songs for you, except they're not on long enough for me to see the title. My kids will be playing music in the car or whatever, and they'll go, they'll put it on a song, and I'll hear 10 seconds of it. I'll go, no, and I'll just hit the stick. And they're like, but Dad, that was. And I'm like, I don't care. Yeah.
My car, my rules.
Exactly. You know, so that for me, it's got to be like that one, or believe it or not, it doesn't make me angry, but I immediately turn it off. My wife and I just discussed this. Is All I Want to Do by Sheryl Crow, is because that's okay. You could not escape that song for like a decade.
Yeah,
you know, it was every party, all the girls sang it. You know, they were all you know drinking their Zimas and. Singing about how they wanted to have, all they want to do is have some fun and blah, blah, blah. That song, I'm just over it. And if it's going to take at least two more decades to recover.
But over Santa Monica Boulevard, I'm just saying, dude.
How about you, Marco? What song do you can't listen to?
I'm a Barbie Girl.
Oh, I love that song.
I'm a
I like Aqua. We went over this on the Manstalgia.
Oh, we did.
One time. Yeah,
I know. That's why I'm laughing.
Yeah,
I will turn that shit up.
I will honestly say I can't get. I have a very, very eclectic taste in music. I listen to a lot. Really folky country. I can't get behind it. I'm not going to go as bad as saying like it's like nails on a chalkboard or cats screeching in the background, but it is. but this new generation of rap where they're just basically saying the same thing in a very mumbled voice over and over again.
Yeah.
It's obviously, I hate to date myself and say I'm just old. I mean, you can say all that shit, but we're talking about personal opinion and talking about like, you know what, you know, what we will change. And I would say, like, if I'm listening to randomly, if I'm deciding to listen to some hip hop that day, if any of that new shit comes on, it's got to go.
Yeah. Young MC was telling us to bust a move, or Public Enemy was telling us to turn it up and bring the noise, I could get behind that.
Now you have the
isn't that a whole, that's a whole genre now, right? It's called mumble rap.
Yeah. And it's yeah. I can't get behind that any more than I could get behind like the really angry, what do they call it? Crunking when you were like stomping and yelling and shit. Like I'm out. Yeah. Okay. So let me tag up on, go ahead.
Oh, I got a lead off. I got a lead off from that as well on the music scene. Okay.
Okay.
So if you're at a karaoke, which we've all either been to a bar that's had karaoke, whether you're participating or not, right? Whether you're participating or not, we've all been at a karaoke bar. And I think we've all participated, so I don't want to hear no bullshit. What is a must sing along song? Meaning like not part of your party, not something that you yourself picked out, but let's say it kicks on, someone's singing, you're like, oh shit, and everyone starts singing. And And a follow-up to that, and the second part is, what is your cut that shit out, never karaoke this song again song, like we don't need this shit no more song?
So Friends in Low Places has got to be the ultimate karaoke sing-along song.
You bastard. I was going to say that. I was literally going to say that.
That one gets the whole bar going. My personal one I like to do is Delilah by Tom Jones, because I have, you know, my special audience participation that I instruct the whole bar to do.
Yeah, the last time there was like a room full of 8-year-old kids.
Hey, shut up. I didn't know there was an 8-year-old's birthday party in the restaurant. And what the hell were they doing at a bar at 10 o'clock at night?
Everything about that was questionable. Why was there a birthday for a 10-year-old at a bar at 10 o'clock at night? And then T-Bone gets up there and starts dropping his version of Hey Delilah. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. My mind.
Well, there were mechanical bulls and alcohol that contributed to that prior. So,
but again, why are you having an 8-year-old's birthday party where they have alcohols and mechanical bulls?
True.
I didn't see the 8-year-old get on the mechanical bull, although that I would have paid to watch. I would have paid to watch them put that fucking 8-year-old on that bull and turn it up to 11. Because I had a hard time staying on it like 6.
Yeah, no, the inside of my thighs were bruised for a solid week afterwards.
Yeah, yeah, we were both messed up royally.
But we rode the shit out of that. Yeah, oh, it was fun.
And it prepped me, because a month later, my neighbor had a 21st birthday party for his daughter, and they got a mechanical bull for their backyard with like a bounce house surrounding it.
Nice. Oh, yeah, seen that. Yeah, awesome.
So I got to drunk at 2 o'clock in the morning. Hold my beer.
Okay, so
it's got to be Friends in Low Places for the ultimate sing along. But then, Don't Ever Karaoke That is that I Will Survive. Every fucking girl, like every karaoke bar has some Oceanside sweat beast that gets up, and you know she hasn't had a man chasing her in at least a decade and 200 pounds, and yet she's singing I Will Survive this breakup, and I'm like, girl, that breakup was in high school.
maybe that breakup was with some Twinkies from the night before. Why you gotta be shallow?
Yeah, right. The Twinkies walk out the door, Twinkies.
Maybe you gotta look at it wrong. Maybe the box was empty. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Now go get on out the door. Maybe the Twinkie box was empty, and she needs to talk herself into not going to. Anyway, Matt.
Okay, so sing along one. I'm gonna go with the Righteous Brothers. You Lost That Love and Feeling.
Strong.
Oh, strong. Top Gun.
And then, God, let's see. The don't ever karaoke that song.
Like retire it, please.
Like retire it, please. Oh, geez. I can't even think of one right now. Come back to me on that. Let me think on that for a second.
No worries. So sing along for me would probably be Don't Stop Believing.
Yes, because okay. Whenever Journey comes on, everybody is a small town girl living that in a lonely world.
That's right. Everybody's fucking up. No matter how old you are, everyone's fucking singing along. And Please Cut That Shit Out, to kind of go on the same vein as Thomas, would be Alanis Morissette's. You know where I'm going with this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, it's funny. It's always the chick songs, because my second one was also like, it's I'm telling you, you know, you're going to love me. Every girl thinks they're freaking, you know, Aretha Franklin and shit, or whoever sang that. I don't know. But okay. So, yeah. I'll give you one then to keep on the music vein as we close it out and we round the bases. What is the greatest concert you've ever been to?
Oh, I'm going to have to say it was 1991, I think. 1991 or 90. Jane's Addiction.
Yeah, that's
was okay. The greatest. I mean, that was in the, you know, it was, yeah, it had to be like 90 or 91 out here in LA. And it was such an experience. Just, I mean, that band is just, I mean, that's right up there as one of my favorites, but that was the greatest, probably the greatest concert that I've been to.
Marco?
That's a tough one. I've been to a shitload of concerts and shows.
Yeah, but is there one that just sticks out? So while you're thinking about it, I'll give you, mine fall into the top three concerts I've ever been to.
I think that's where I'm at.
I'll give you in what change the order changes. Okay. Depending on my mood, but it kind of gives people, I always tell this to people and they look at me like, you know, when you make a weird noise and the dog tilts its head and goes, uh-huh, you know,
right.
The three greatest concerts I have ever been to in no particular order are Metallica, the original lineup of the Beach Boys reunion at Santa Barbara Bowl.
Oh,
okay. And Neil Diamond at the Hollywood Bowl.
I knew that Neil Diamond had to be in there somewhere.
I was waiting for it.
He's the Jewish Elvis.
Yeah.
That's America's favorite Jew right there.
That's right. You know, okay, I'll give you this though. The one thing that always trips me out is every year, and we're approaching that time of year, when the Christmas songs come out and you get Neil Diamond and Barbra Streisand singing "O Little Town of Bethlehem" and "Silent Night." Yes. And I'm always weirded out by, I guess, Jewish Christmas carols would be the way to call them.
right. Well, there's like
the pinnacle of selling out right there.
I mean, there's the Jews for Jesus movement, you know, saying
that's that we true. All know about. That's
so,
true.
So that, yeah.
That's true. How about you, Marco?
All right. So, okay. So as far as like a grand concert, like I'm talking about like a giant to do of a concert, I would say Metallica and Guns N' Roses when they did that joint tour together.
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome. Pretty massive because at the time it was two of my favorite bands and they were both at their peak. Yeah. Musically. Reverend Horton Heat.
Ooh, that's strong. Is that the one where he refused to play until he got a drink?
Yes. 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 Well, he's like, yep, I'm not gonna play anymore. I'm gonna only play this one riff over and over again until he gets like a
gin and tonic.
Like Tom Collins, a gin and tonic, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was that one. And then Brian Setzer came out and did like four or five songs with them during that concert. That was amazing. And then as far as like one of those opportunity shows, like you get to see somebody before they really blew up and they just put on this amazing show in a low number venue before they became like a quote unquote megastar would have been, I actually went through this with Matt. Was the Marilyn Manson show with Clutch and the Lunatics that opened up for him. But it was,
yeah. I remember you guys coming home from Marilyn Manson going, that show was amazing.
It was just the performance art of it. And you're talking about, we saw him at the Palace, now it's the Avalon in Los Angeles. So you're talking about a 2,000 person theater, and they were only using the downstairs. So it was the floor. Maybe what would you say, Matt? Maybe 1,200 people,
if that
were in the room. And it was basically like, as a young musician, if you will, or just, you know, going to shows, that's pretty much like it set the bars. Like, hey, if you're gonna blow up a small room, this is the level that you should be doing shit to. And I was like, whether you like Marilyn Manson or not, I don't give a fuck. It was still just a solid fucking show. So
I remember that one of the many moments that stick out to me on that is we made our way up to the front because we were in and out of the pit for a while, and mm-hmm. we were probably three or four rows back from the stage, standing there.
Yeah.
And Marilyn Manson goes, "Okay, on the count of three, I want all you motherfuckers to spit on me." And we looked at each other and go, "We got to get to the back because everybody was going to spit, and we were up front." And I'm like, "No." Right. Remember that, Marco? We're like, we got to go.
And I'm 6'5", so I'm like, there's no way the back of my neck is not getting hit. But there's a second part to the story, which is where Matt decides, as we're moving back away from the front, now we're like five or six rows up, Matt says, hold on, before we move back a little bit more. He grabs my shoulders, hops up, using me as a plank, right? And hops up and just, boom. And just missiles Marilyn Manson in the fucking forehead. It was like, bam, forehead hit. And like, and it hops down, and people around him saw it, and they're like, wow. Like, I'm actually impressed by this. It was, I didn't know this was happening. He just goes, "Hey, Marco, hold on." And he just jumps up, and I'm like, what the fuck is happening? I just feel this weight on my shoulders, and he just elevated, just loogie missile. Boom. So, yeah. Anyways, so that show.
I missed that one. I was never a fan of when you told me that the album was called Smells Like Children. I was like, I'm out.
I'm out. Nope.
Nope. Okay. Well, Matt, you're up. What's
okay. Well, damn, I have another musical thing and I feel like we all owe going. It to ourselves.
No, I can go with something that's going. Not musical if you want to circle back around to it.
Well, no, we'll do this and then we'll close out the musical thing.
Okay.
Because I had two musical things. It'll be a quickie. What was your first concert? Not like, you know, saw a live band at a bar or whatever, your first actual concert at, you know, major venue that you went to. What was it? And mine was thanks to my aunt, who is only 10 years older than me. My grandfather used to run the garage at Universal Studios. He was the head mechanic there. So he always got tickets to the amphitheater back then. And I want to say it was in the 80s at some time. I was a kid and my first concert was REO Speedwagon.
Wow.
And I didn't appreciate it at the time. But now I'm like proud to say, yeah, that was the first live band I saw was in the 80s, REO Speedwagon.
Yeah, peak REO Speedwagon.
Yeah. That was quite a to do.
So my concert going came later in life because everything, when you're raised in a very strict house, we weren't allowed to go to the movies because even though we were going to, like, I never got to see E.T. in the theater because, you know, even though the movie might be fine, the previews for the other movies that they show before the movie might not be fine. I mean, it was pretty strict. And then finally my grandfather broke the seal and took me to see the Jungle Book. Cause he was like, fuck what your dad says. I don't care. We're going to see Disney. But, you know, that's kind of how my childhood went, is eventually a rule got broken because somebody went, no, this is ridiculous. We're just doing it.
Yeah.
But my first actual concert as a result of that was Lollapalooza.
Okay.
Second one ever.
Yeah, the second one, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get to go see the original Lollapalooza, but I did go see Lollapalooza 2 and then subsequently like every other Lollapalooza for the next 6 years or whatever. But
yeah, oh, that was late because I went to the first Lollapalooza out there, Irvine Meadows.
I had been to, we had seen bands, you know, in Hollywood and stuff like that, but
it was the
first, like a legit concert.
It was.
How about you,
Marco?
If I'm not counting the random kind of outdoor festivals that I went to with my parents in like South America that I don't really remember, you know, I just remember being in certain.
Right. No, this is you attending a concert.
It would have been the Genesis reunion at Dodger Stadium.
Wow.
Nice.
That was my first actual like concert. And then, but it was like, it's crazy. That was like my first concert here. And it was my first concert in the States. And then it snowballed from there. I like love being out so much that I figured out ways and went to more shows immediately after. But that was my first
show.
Yeah, I broke the seal. And it was fucking jaw dropping seeing Phil Collins do his drum duet. It's actually a famous drum duet for that tour. And it was just like, yeah, it's fucking mind blowing. Nice. But that was my first one, and I had the opportunity to go. It wasn't per se my first choice, if you will, but it was more like, hey, we have an extra ticket. This person backed out. You know, do you want to come with us? And I was like, let's go, let's do this. And I went, and holy shit.
So my next one, we're getting off the musical topic. This is going to be a little, I'll go first just because it's kind
if
of,
you
know, because you guys are going to need to think about it probably. So the it's two-parter. What's the most scared you've ever been as a kid? And what's the most scared you've ever been as an adult? And I remember the most scared I ever was as a kid was, and bear in mind, you're talking to the kid that fell into a lit fire pit when he was 4. I wasn't really that scared then. And I've never been scared to, like, you know, get up in front of people or anything like that. But when I went from a private Christian school that only had 200 kids from kindergarten to 12th grade. And then in seventh grade, I found myself at a junior high school in the San Fernando Valley that had 2,000 kids. That first day of school was pretty terrifying as a kid. As an adult, it was probably when my wife was pregnant with my daughter. It was our first kid. And she'd been in labor for like 4 days. And the doctor was like, okay,
holy shit.
We have 8 hours left because your water's broken. You cannot go any longer with your water broken without giving birth to this kid. You can wait the 8 hours and see if things progress naturally, or we can just give you an emergency C-section. And, you know, looking at her, and, you know, they tell you emergency C-section, and it's like they push you right into the room and then just cut you open right there. So I remember, and my wife tells me, she goes, I could see the fear in your eyes. And I was trying to be strong, but I'm wearing that surgical mask and my eyes are about this big.
Right, as right.
I'm looking at her. And then I remember looking over the, she was like, what's going on? Can you see? I don't want to look, because I didn't want to look past the blanket.
Right, right.
She's like, no, you got to look. So I look over the blanket. I'm like, oh God, I'm sorry. I looked.
I'll never look down there the same way again.
No. But it wasn't even because it at least I didn't have to see it coming out the regular way, but seeing my wife's stomach cut open and my daughter being,
you know,
it was like, what the fuck? So I remember being pretty, like, I've been in critical incidents as a cop, and I've never been as scared as I was that something bad was going to happen to my wife on the operating table, like at, right there.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, shit, I've figured mine out. So most scared as a kid, there's a little backstory to this. The movie Poltergeist that I watched as a kid with the clown. I know
where this is going.
with the clown in the fucking room. Well, yeah. it was like maybe a year later or something that one of my aunts knitted a clown that looked strikingly similar to that. And I didn't like it, kept it in the closet. We moved houses as a kid, and that thing got packed away. So I saw it and I'm like, no, screw this. I threw it in the trash can. And I go in to, you know, keep moving stuff into my bedroom and put it in the closet. I open the closet, and that little fucking clown is sitting on a box in my closet, and I about shit myself. So I picked it up and I ran back out shaking and like almost crying and threw it in the trash can, and then went back to, you know, moving stuff. And it was like an hour or two later, go back in the room. That fucking clown is back in the closet on a different box. And now I'm just like, I start crying. And my mom comes in.
This smells your mom. This smells like your mom all over it. Yeah.
My mom comes in. She's like, what's wrong? I'm like, oh, the clown is after me. She's like, oh no, I pulled it out of the trash can like twice already. And I'm like, God damn it. You know? So, but in that moment, before I knew that, I was legit. Like, I mean, I cried. I was scared as hell, you know? And so
that'll do it.
That was not cool at all.
Why does this keep getting in the trash?
Yeah, she's just thinking like, why is this in the trash? You know, no, this was, you know, so-and-so made this for my son. I'm going to put it back in his room, not knowing she was potentially scarring me for life.
Right.
to this day, I don't care for clowns.
Who does?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not scared of them anymore, but I just don't like them. I don't like them. I can do without clowns.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the most scared I was as an adult, I would say, was the moment I was laying down on the ground after my bike wreck, and saw my right foot backwards on my leg, mangled and everything. I was, I thought, oh shit, I'm losing my foot. I'm losing my leg. You know, what the hell? Just that whole incident was, it scared the shit out of me. It was a horrific wreck, and thank God I'm able to walk and run and play and whatnot today. But in that moment, just seeing that carnage that shook me.
Yeah. Seeing your foot turned around backwards would probably do that. I
yeah.
Imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was, yeah.
So as a child, there's two that I can come up with. The funnier one of the two, would have been the first time I ever went to in Los Angeles. For all the listeners that are not from Los Angeles, hello, non-Los Angelinos. We have a Six Flags near Los Angeles called Six Flags Magic Mountain. And back in the day, like back in the day when I was young, now the Six Flags is using, I think, DC and Warner Brothers characters as their mascots.
Right.
Well, back in the day, this Six Flags was Six Flags, and it's still called Magic Mountain. So Magic Mountain, the original mascot was a wizard. Like if you look up, you know, old, right? So it's like Magic Mountain, and over the top have like a long bearded, you
know, it was like a Merlin,
kind of wizard, right? So we get into the park. We get right into the park, and it's, you know, like the sights, the sounds, the smell of the popcorn. You know, when you first walk into Magic Mountain, there's a roller coaster called. Yeah, but when you turn the corner, there's Revolution. The Revolution's right there. So there's like a roller coaster, like fountains, and like a roller coaster loop sitting right there. So it's sensory kind of overload as a kid. There's a lot going on. So I'm like looking at my mom, and I go, I'm looking around. I'm like, wow, this is all so crazy. I'm holding my mom's arms. And then I look to go look at my mom to see like her expression, make sure everything's all okay. And I see what seems to be in gigantic slow motion with the big thundering footsteps of Jurassic Park. Doom. 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 And I'm like, what is that gigantic purple thing coming around from this building? And it was this gigantic wizard. It was a guy on stilts that was about 10, 12 feet tall with his whole body was the head of the wizard. So it was like he had these really long legs, and then the whole body, would have been this gigantic wizard head with a long beard hanging down almost to the floor.
Like those weird Marvel fucking cat.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Had this weird, and you know, and mind you, this was like in the 80s, so like it wasn't like as sharply defined. It was a little bit more crude looking, right? So this thing comes around the corner, and it comes around the corner with this ominous, almost like plastered fake smile, like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man coming across the buildings in Ghostbusters slowly. So imagine that to a fucking kid with this giant fucking wizard making the turn coming towards us. Oh, so I fucking whipped my hand out of my mom's fucking hand, went straight beeline running away from her, took off. You booked
it.
Oh, yeah. I fucking booked it like nonstop. My mom's chasing after me, and I'm screaming my head off. She has no idea what the fuck is happening. And I bolt into a fucking bathroom because I see the little bathroom sign. Sorry, I bolt into the bathroom, into the very, very last sink, all the way up against the wall, and get underneath it, grabbing my knees, shaking, and saying something along the lines, because my mom remembers this, no one is going to make me stay in this fucking place. I will climb over walls if I have to. So there's that story. And then the actual fearful, I don't know what the fuck is going on, was when we first landed in the U.S. to move here. We landed into LAX, and it was late at night. So it was nighttime. It was cold because it was in January. I'm sorry, late December. It's very, very end of December.
Well, and to a kid from South America, January in LA, it's cold.
I was so ill prepared. I was wearing shorts and a windbreaker. No clue. No, I had no clue.
It's not cold to people in other climates, but to a kid from the equator.
Literally, the equator runs through my country. So, it's fucking cold as hell. Anyways, so we land, and I don't speak a lick of English. And at that time, there was some kind of, not protest per se, but I think there was like a rally. There was like a rally going on. And at that point in time, where you still like kind of meander and walk through LAX and so on and so forth. So there was a crowd of people holding signs coming directly towards us, chanting in like, you know, in what seemed like fucking like straight out old school pickforks and blow torches, you know, and torches, you know, chanting in a language that I don't fucking understand, coming directly at us in a marching almost kind of sense. And I had never felt so lost, out of place. Like it smelled different than home. It was cold for no reason. I never understood that, you know, because I never really had that when I was a kid. people are chanting, coming towards us, you know, looking kind of like angrily, like pushing their fucking like the little signs and banners up and down, like together in unison. I was like, what the fuck is going on? And I actually literally started shaking. My mom had to like grab me and like kind of pull us behind a pillar and be like, it's okay, just let them pass. You know, they're just, you know, blah, blah. Yeah. So, yeah. So that's, doesn't seem like much, but to a kid that, and again, not understanding what they're saying. Oh yeah. It was pretty.
Yeah. You think they're coming to eat you?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Just like the wizard.
Just like the wizard, man. Fuck that guy.
What's the movie that, like, what movie when you were a kid scared you most?
The one that gave me the most amount of nightmares for the longest was Jaws.
Jaws seems to be a universal one.
Yeah,
for people.
I didn't want to go into pools. I didn't really watch Poltergeist. I didn't watch Poltergeist until I was older. I didn't watch it when I was young, but I did watch. I watched Jaws when I was little, like I was little. And yeah, I didn't want to. I had dreams about
Jaws is rated PG.
Is it really? Yeah.
Yes. Hmm. There was no PG-13 rating when Jaws came out.
I guess because you don't really, now when you think back about it, you don't really see in Jaws 1, you don't really see much. There's, you know, blood in the water. There's like that one where Quint gets eaten, or the foot or something.
No, that the scene where Quint's getting eaten by the shark.
Yeah,
is pretty
that's pretty graphic.
He's being lifted back and forth.
Yeah, you see the girl skinny dipping and she's topless and stuff like I go back and watch that movie. I'm like, this was a PG.
I mean, you had fucking Airplane when they're randomly like slapping people around and then you see the chick with the fucking titties bouncing back and forth.
That's an R. That's an R rating.
Hmm. Well, they did talk about Gladiator movies.
Yeah, Jaws, I remember being irrationally scared. Like I wouldn't go in the pool alone. I remember one time as a very small child, I was in my grandparents' pool alone, and I all of a sudden became overwhelmingly aware of the fact that I was alone in the pool, and I booked it for the stairs and hopped out of the pool and turned around real quick expecting to see something chasing me. So but I had a weird one, and again, this comes from growing up in a strict home. We went to church one Sunday and we watched a movie about the end of the world, you know, and it was about, you know, getting the mark of the beast and all this other stuff. And I've gone on YouTube to look the movie up since then, and it's terrible and it's shitty and it's the lowest of the lowest budget grindhouse style 70s movies. But when you're 5 years old and you're watching this in church on a Sunday night, I was like, they're going to come kill me. Oh my God. What's funny about this, right, is like it was probably 15 years later, 20 years later, my brother and my sister and I are all sitting around drinking at a family Thanksgiving or something. And the subject of that movie came up and nobody wanted it. Like we all discovered that as children, we were all three terrified of that movie. But none of us wanted to discuss it with each other. And my parents looked at us and went, really? That movie that scared you? We're like, yeah. Like we were telling him, yeah, we were mad at you guys. That was child abuse. How dare you show us that movie? If anybody wants to look it up, it's called A Thief in the Night. It's like late 70s, you know, Death Race 2000 kind of budget. Like it's terrible.
I'm watching it. I'm curious. I'm gonna watch it.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that
mine. Mine per our last question should be obvious. It was Poltergeist.
Yeah.
That movie, because I remember going back and forth with my mom wanting to watch it. And she was like, you know, trying to protect me. No, you know, that'll give you nightmares. No, I'm a big boy, blah, blah, blah. And finally she just gave it. Okay. Go ahead. Watch it.
Yep.
That scarred me. Yeah. I don't think I slept that night very much.
That's a crime that carries its own punishment.
Yes. Yes.
But so I did that with my daughter. She saw Poltergeist as a, you know, 8 year old or whatever. And my wife loves horror movies. So when her daughter liked Poltergeist and thought it was neat and, you know, fun, my wife got all excited and she goes, oh, so I can start showing our daughter horror movies and she'll like them. I'm like, slow down there. What movies? Right. And so the argument I made was, if that's what you want to do, fine. Then we're going to start at the beginning. Because once you show her like a certain level of horror movie,
right,
some of the original stuff isn't doesn't have the same impact. Right, so I said, okay, if we're going to start letting her watch horror movies, we're going to start with the King and we're going to show her Psycho. So, at like 9 years old, you know, it's black and white. There's not, it's not really that graphic. You know, you go back and watch that movie. Mm-hmm. It's really not graphic at all. It's just terrifying. So we watched the movie and my daughter did, she's about 9 years old. She did okay. She made it all the way through. I'm like, okay, maybe she is. Gets to the last scene where Norman Bates is sitting there and his mother's voiceover is just talking in his head and his face kind of has this shadow of a skeleton superimposed over it. And he's looking at the camera with those dead eyes. And my daughter goes, oh, I don't like it. Turn up. That face haunted her. And I'm like,
sure.
I just bought myself a couple of years of no horror movies.
All right. Mission accomplished.
It's funny because you show movies to kids and they have a certain impact. And then, you know, when they grow up, if you watch them again with them, it's fun to see like them realize, oh my God, that was really cheesy, but that scared the shit out of me when I was a kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, all right. So who's next? Marco?
Marco's next.
Okay. So if you had to live off of one fast food restaurant, for the rest of your life. So hold on. Go with me on this. I'm talking about apocalypse, you know what I'm saying? Mad Max shit. And you come across in a desert. It's not like, you know, like you come desert, come across, and there's somehow, some way, this one fast food restaurant of your choosing that what you do have I want to live. Yeah, that you have to live off for the rest of your life.
What would so happen? It's not Demolition Man, all restaurants are Taco Bell where there's one on every corner. You're talking you haven't had fast food and finally one fast food restaurant reappears. What would I want it to be?
Yep. Oof. What would it be? And why?
You going to go first? Yeah.
I'll give you mine.
Okay.
Mine would have to be, and not because this is necessarily my favorite burger sandwich or whatever the fuck you want to say, but I'm going to have to say Jack in the Box.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you why.
Because you can't get away from them beetle meat tacos. That's why.
That's what it is. No, but look. If that's all you have, there are options there. They have a teriyaki bowl to remind you of some Asian food. They have the tacos and the breakfast burritos to remind you of like Mexican food and Hispanic food. They always got the burgers. They got a pita pocket to remind you of like Middle Eastern food. They have egg rolls, mozzarella sticks with marinara. There's some shit you can do in there. You know what I'm saying?
But none of them are that great.
No. I'm not saying that if you had one restaurant to pick, period, in an apocalypse, I would pick that over fucking Larson's Steakhouse. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that.
You know? So you're saying that when you're forced to eat crap, at least you want a variety of crap.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Yep. If I have to eat crap, if I have to come around the corner and all I find is crap, I mean, at least I want the most variety out of my crap.
I'm kind of with you there, but mine is Wendy's.
Okay.
Wendy's has really good burgers. Their chicken sandwich is amazing. It's the only nuggets you can eat without sauce. Their nuggets are they must use 12 herbs and spices and be like, fuck the Colonel, because their nuggets are spicy sauceless. Or regular. They're just either way. I like spicy. Okay. I'll eat regular, but it's the only nuggets you don't need sauce for. They have baked potatoes.
They do have the baked potatoes.
They have the delicious Frosty, the always delicious Frosty. Mm-hmm. So it's going to have to be Wendy's. Oh, the Baconator. So it's going to have to be Wendy's.
It was good.
All right. Well, you rat bastards. My first pick was going to be Jack in the Box. And then when he said that, I'm like, okay, I'll just dip down to Wendy's for the same reason. So now I'm just going to have to say Carl's Jr. because they too have
Carl's Jr. has a variety.
Burrito. Yes. Yeah. So then you get your Mexican kick there, but
right,
yeah, because I mean, look, yeah, picking like a favorite burger place, then all you're gonna have is burgers. Like if you pick In-N-Out, you're getting burgers and fries. That's right. It.
And In-N-Out's delicious, but you only get one thing from In-N-Out.
Right.
Same thing with Tommy's. Right. Like I love Tommy's. I love the Tomaine Tommy's chili, but you know, it's you're only getting chili burgers and tamales for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's
well, all right. Are you up, Matt, or am I up?
I think I don't know, because It went. Yeah, I think I'm up.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Now, there's rules to this one. Okay.
Oh. So yeah, here we go.
You have to, no, but I mean, I want to be very clear. You can. You need to pick one superpower that you can have.
Fly.
And why? And it can't be like, I want the powers of a particular superhero, because then you can't say Superman because it encompasses a bunch of different ones. But one superpower and why. And Thomas, I heard yours, and that was mine as well. Mine definitely would be to fly, because how awesome would that
be?
Why not? Like,
right.
Yeah. Okay, we'll do two. Do two, because I have a feeling like fly is going to be up there for pretty much everybody.
So let's say
amazing.
With the exception of flight.
Okay, with the exception of flight. Any superpower.
And it can't be like you can't say Green Lantern's ring, because the ring can fucking do anything. It has to be like one inherent, not a magical item.
The one superpower. Like, right. Yeah.
I want so-and-so's, I want the Infinity Gauntlet. That's one superpower. No,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. Then I guess, so with the exception of flight, mine would be just like crazy strength.
Like super strength?
Like super strength, like Superman style strength.
I think I want like invulnerability.
Yeah. I think I would probably want invulnerability, as well.
I can deal with like the jumping in the way of a train and fucking shouldering it and stopping it, you know, a runaway train.
With invulnerability, the train wouldn't kill you, but
the train would just run your ass over.
Yeah.
You'd be sitting there going,
just bounce your ass out of the way and you wouldn't die.
Yeah, I'm cool. I'm cool with that.
I'd be cool with that, because I mean, think about it. Like, the amazing, you could be the greatest stuntman in the world.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Everybody always talks about like invisibility, and I'm like, first of all, to be invisible, you have to be naked.
Yeah.
And I'm not completely comfortable with running around butt naked, even when I'm invisible, because you know, you just accidentally smack into something wrong and all kinds of bad stuff happens to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus you have to deal with climate at that point too.
Exactly. And there is a really good take on the Invisible Man story that was done by Blumhouse, but it really does highlight the limitations of invisibility as a superpower, because what I can never understand is in these Invisible Man movies, your best weapon is a fucking bucket of paint.
Baby powder.
Or baby, you know, anything just poof. Oh shit, there he is. You know, a can of Krylon could defeat the Invisible Man.
So
invisibility is overrated as a superpower. It's underrated as a tool for eavesdropping and spying and getting into the girl's shower. But you know, I mean, if that's what you want the superpower for, we're having a two different conversation. So we've all said our superpower. I will say,
yeah,
if you could have, now there's two categories to your answer. One is for looks, and the other one is you get the complete and total functionality of it. Okay. So if you could have any car from film or TV history, what would you pick? First, just for looks.
Ooh.
For me, just for looks, it's probably going to be the 1966 Batmobile.
Okay.
Just for looks.
Yeah. I got you. I see what you're saying for just for looks.
You get a replica of it. It doesn't do all the things that the real thing does. It doesn't have, you know,
like the afterburner
and shit like that.
Right. Like the DeLorean from, the DeLorean from Back to the Future or Ecto-1.
Right.
Man, that's a good one for just the looks. What? I don't know. I'd probably say Ecto-1 or, oh no, hell no. The fucking van from A-Team.
Now I got to pick a different one.
No, you don't. Right. If you think it was the vanity team, you just
mine. Yeah, for sure. Oh yeah, for looks. Yeah, done.
Did when you were a kid, did you realize it was two tone or three tone? I guess if you count the red stripe. It wasn't until later on in life that I realized the top is like a gunmetal charcoal and the bottom is black. I didn't realize it was two tone. I thought it was all black as a kid.
Yep.
So, you know. So you guys are the 18 band. I'm the 1960 Batmobile. Now I'm gonna guess if I say, what if it's functional? What do you pick? Like if it's fully operational?
Look, I ain't fucking with time travel, but I would do the Knight Rider car kit.
Oh, strong.
Yeah,
that's a good one, but he would get annoying.
Could you reprogram Kit to be like a sexy voice? Hello,
I'm sure you could. It's just it's just a voice.
just chiming in and every function wise, I don't know. Maybe because
then you got a designated driver all the time.
Yeah. You don't want the car from Mask where the doors come out
the fucking Camaro. The
Camaro.
The 1986 IROC Z Camaro with the fucking no, I'm thinking maybe fucking Airwolf.
Oh yeah. I mean it did say car, but
yeah, I was gonna say that's a helicopter, but
all right, bitches. With all the functions,
I would have to go with the Back to the Future 2 DeLorean because it could fly. It didn't need roads. It had Mr. Fusion, and I will fuck with time travel. I will fuck with time travel. That's 100%. I will.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard at that point if you're talking about the actual function of the vehicles. It's hard not to say. You know, it's hard not to say. Well, how much do you want to fuck shit up? Like, you want to just go fuck around with time travel, or do you want the fucking or do you want the tumbler from fucking Batman? You know what I'm saying? Like,
You want something indestructible.
Yeah, so. That fucking like has a fucking the boot, the fucking turbo in the back, like the rocket to help it jump fucking bridge layer. And yeah. I mean, that depends. Yeah. Again, what do you want to do? You want to fuck shit up or you want to, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm between those two.
Okay. So now it's you're up. Your question.
All right. So if you can go back in time and change, getting a little serious, if you can go back in time and change one thing in your life, I'm not talking about like take out Hitler. I'm talking about like in your personal life experience, if you can go back and change one event.
So if you could quantum leap your own life just one time.
And one time for this one event and then quantum leap back.
Oof. Metallica guy, Google quantum leap. Great show.
I got the theme song in my head.
Ziggy. Yeah, right. It's funny. Ziggy is basically a smartphone. When you go back and you watch
Ziggy
it,
like, Ziggy is
basically a smartphone. Yep. But
it was Al. Al was his
Al buddy, was the right? Al was his guide, and then he had that weird like Dayglo Lego handset that was.
That even in the future didn't always work because he was always like hitting it.
You know, this is always a hard one for me because I'm happy with my life, my family. So I wouldn't want to go back and do anything that would alter, you know, who I married, my kids, anything like that. So it would have to be going back and changing something that only kind of affects me. And it would probably be going back and telling myself when it was time to, there was a particular part in my police career where it was either take the promotion at my department or change agencies because I had an offer from another agency and I had a offer to go into a promotional spot at my department. I probably would go back and tell myself to switch departments, knowing what I know now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But. Sure. Because I don't want to do anything that affects whether my two kids are born or anything like that. Like I was thinking about, you know, an ex-girlfriend, you go back and be like, oh, I would break up with her differently. But if I break up with her differently, that might affect the timeline for my wife, you know?
Right. Kind of the thing. Butterfly effect. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, sure. So it would just be, you know, by the time that decision came to pass with my, with my career, my wife and my kids were already pretty much set in stone as to, you know, what was, you know, so I think that decision would only affect me in my career.
Yeah. And Marco, when you brought that up, I was the same line of thinking, like, I'm happy where I am now, for better or worse. You know, all the shit that I went through led me to this point. So I'm really struggling with one thing. I guess if I can go back and talk to myself and give advice to try to change something, it would just be to
take the names off the shotgun shells.
No, because that could have affected that whole butterfly effect. Yeah. Exactly. That would have been sound advice. No, but honestly, it's going to sound corny and everything, but I would just tell myself just to always choose your happiness above all. And I think that would,
that is the gayest answer I've ever heard.
Well, I mean, hey, look, you know, if I do anything else that would change.
Metallica guy, look up gayest answers I ever heard.
Google that. No, you'll find that answer at the top of the list.
Whatever, I'll own it. But yeah, that would be it.
Okay.
And I think that would just change. That would just provide more of a mental health going through other things moving forward. Mm-hmm.
Marcos, so, I would have stayed in South America.
I don't think he wants to be home right now.
No, I do not. No, no, I do
no,
not want
to. No.
Venezuela is not a happy place.
No. No. I would stop Matt from dating the yoga chick. No.
Shots fired.
I would like to have done that, but then it probably wouldn't lead me to where I am now. But no, I agree. For sure. Yeah. But no,
I wrote that one down, and I've been racking myself on that one myself. If I was going to get over the top, dramatic, if you will, you guys know that I had an ex pass away, right, and I would reach out to her that night to prevent her from passing, you know, to do something to prevent her from passing away. But then, like you guys were saying, that would, I'm sure that would alter the timeline continuum.
Well, you could always say, okay, self, you are allowed to prevent her from dying, but don't get back together with her.
Right. But you still need to break up with her sometime soon. So,
right. Exactly.
By this time on this day, it needs to.
Right. It needs to be done, but just make sure that this other event does not happen. Tell myself, go back and I think there's so many times in our lives where we can go back and tell ourselves to take the red pill and not the blue pill, you know?
Right, right.
But yeah, it's one of those hard things where everything that you've done has led you to the place where we are right now. You know what? Here, I would tell myself to get into tattooing a couple of years earlier than I did.
There you
that's,
go.
That's, okay. There's steps leading up to, and people say, like, oh, you know, everything happens for a reason at the time. Yeah, it actually had the, I already had the people, like the network lined up before it actually happened. I just
didn't. You could have just taken the step earlier.
Yeah,
and you didn't.
Yeah, I could have taken a step earlier, and I would have taken the step years before, a couple of years before I did. And things would have been, thinking back, things would have lined up a little bit differently than they did in the long run. So yeah, I would have done that.
We're coming into the home stretch. I think we got one question each, short one.
Okay.
So Matt, you're up.
Okay. I'm just going to piggyback off that last question because I still want to kind of talk about this. So.
Oh, okay.
That situation goes down. Would you listen to yourself? Would you believe that was you coming back to give you advice?
No.
Like,
no.
Like,
okay. Let's start with, no. even if I believed it was me, I would still tell me to go fuck myself because I know myself and I'm like, don't tell me what to do. I always joke, but I was having a close, y'all know Rosie is one of my closest friends. She lives in Charlotte.
Oh, yeah.
You guys have been friends with her for years. And we had a conversation. Yes, she does.
Much love, Rosie.
We had a conversation last night where I was talking about, you know, we were talking about the lockdown and COVID and all this other bullshit. And I said, I don't want anybody telling me what to do. I'm very, very, very libertarian in my don't get involved in other people's business kind of views. And I have said time and time again, I'm the fucking guy who I don't like the dryer telling me to check the lint trap. Fuck you, dryer. You work for me. I will check the lint trap when I am goddamn good and ready. And if I want to start a fire in my laundry room, that is none of your concern. You just dry the fucking clothes.
All right.
So I am that stubborn guy. So I don't know. I don't believe that I would believe me. But if knowing that, I would have to have, like, future me would have to have some sort of way to convince past me. So, like, I would have to bring a newspaper headline of, this is why you don't want to do that, you know, something like that. That's me. How about either of you two?
Yeah, I don't think I would first of all believe that I was me. And I would have a hard time, just the forever skeptic, like, nah, now what kind of voodoo witchery is this? I would need I would need, like, you, some sort of substantial, you know, foolproof, like, just proof that no, listen, like, you know. Like, look, if we were a couple of Bill and Ted's and we were just like, oh, cool, it's future me. Right, and, you know, that's, but I think we're all reasonably intelligent.
Matt and I would be in the shortest Bill and Ted movie ever. We would show up to help each other pass our history test and tell our future us's to go fuck themselves.
Yep. End of movie.
Pretty much.
But yeah, I probably
we would have beat them up and stolen their phone booth.
But future us's would be prepared for that.
True.
Oh, God, that'd be a fight. Paradox. Who would win if you'd have to fight yourself?
Okay, so I'm going to go with my next question then. If you could fight anyone in living or historical, like, okay, not fictional.
We're going Fight Club now. Here we go.
Yeah. This is why I wrote this down. Because I always find this to be an interesting question. You get one person. And they will either bring them back to the from the dead or whatever they're going to do. But one person, living or dead, they can't be fictional. They have to be real. Who would you fight?
Ooh. Give me a second. Give me a second to think about this. It's a good one.
I would literally, like, the easy answer is I would want to fight Adolf Hitler just to see how tough that fucker really is.
Right.
But I think I would rather fight, like, I'd rather fight Charles Manson.
Nice.
I think I would rather fight Charles Manson because I think that little bastard was all talk.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know. I would like to say he's all talk. He might be, like, he might bite you. You know what I'm saying? He might be that
I'm okay
guy.
With that. But, like, let's, you know, have it. Let's, like,
bite,
let's
and scratch and fight. Eyeball. You know what I'm saying? Like, he might try to fish hook you. You know what I'm saying? He might.
He's fucking little, dude, and he's squirrely, and he's like, he's gonna fight saying. Like a banshee.
He's wiry.
I think I could take.
He's wiry.
I want to fight Charles Manson.
Real person.
Marco. Who would you fight?
Hugo Chavez.
Oh.
Okay.
Hugo Chavez.
Strong.
I throw it down for the same reason. I think, you know, like, he politically talked a great game, kind of like Fidel, you know, came in. Well, Fidel actually did some shit, but, you know, like, he was younger, but he came in talking a good fucking game. And at the end of the day, when it came down to fisticuffs, I don't think he'd have it. I would love to just fuck him up.
And Matt, you cut out. You would fight Stalin?
Oh, Stalin. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it, like, what you said kind of resonates, Marco, that with the Hugo Chavez and the Stalin thing, and, like, we were talking about Hitler and stuff like that. If it had to be, like, a world leader, I think those are some really strong choices because of the crazy shit they did.
Right,
but I would, if we're talking, like, a world leader, it would probably for me be Che. Like, fuck that guy. That guy was a piece of shit. And I'm tired of seeing his face on all these little, you know, sawed off revolutionary fucking, you know, that's the, if Rage Against the Machine did one terrible thing to the world, it was to turn Che Guevara into a fucking folk hero instead of a guy that liked to, you know, a racist who wanted to kill black people and homosexuals.
So, right.
I think I would fight Che. I heard he was very smelly, though, so I'd have to do it with a clothespin on my nose.
Put a couple of drops of peppermint, a little peppermint essential oil.
A little Vicks.
There you go. Yeah. Vicks under the nose. That does the job.
All right. So that's me. One more for Matt and one more for Marco, and then we're going to close it up.
Well, I piggybacked off that other one, so that was mine.
Okay. Marco.
Marco.
If you weren't doing what you're doing right now, what would you be doing, professionally speaking? If you were, you know.
So if what you could switch what we'd careers? Like to do? If you could just if you snap had, your if, fingers if and you switch had, careers?
Yeah, if you had a career switch. Not like, you know, I'll be a multimillionaire. No, I'm talking about like if you were. We're all some working stiffs. So if you.
Some normal jobs. I can't pick Rockstar.
You can't pick Rockstar, right? Yeah. If you weren't
a history doing, teacher. What, high school history teacher.
Oh, I can see that.
Huh. Okay.
I would go if I've thought about like even when I retired, I thought about going back to school, getting my teaching credential. When I was in high school, I had a great history teacher. You guys remember him? He would stand on desks and pound on walls, and he was very like Robin Williams, Dead Poet Society, you know, kind of, you know, he was a good history teacher. And I really truly believe that those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. And I think it's one of the most important things you can teach kids, but it's one of the hardest things to teach kids because getting kids excited about dusty old people that don't exist anymore, you have to make it come alive. And if you don't do that, you're going to lose them. So I would be a high school history teacher.
Okay. I would, county lifeguard. Yep. Yep.
Baywatch.
I'm actually, I've been talking to my buddies down there at the beach and I'm going to take the test next year. They're not testing this year, but they have part-time positions available where you can just work on the weekends.
That's not a bad gig.
There's no age gap on, there's no age limit on when you can test. It's just, as with any other, if you can do it, you can do it. So nice. I know I can do it. So I'm going to, you know, next year when they test, I'm going to do that and hopefully come in top five in that swim. And you got to come in top 100.
You're a Navy man through and through. We just can't get you away from the water.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, that's what I would do. You know, hang out at the beach.
What about you, Marco?
Chef. I'd be in the kitchen.
Nice.
I could see that. I could totally see that.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoy it. I believe this is going to be funny, you guys. Making props. You know,
I could see that too. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely like. I've found a new passion for sculpting lately, or re-found a passion for sculpting lately, and making things. So yeah, I'd either go into making props, or to be honest with you, I'd be in a kitchen somewhere.
Yeah. All right. Well, I've got one last question, one last question that ties into our Eddie Van Halen tribute that I wanted to tack onto the end. So I thought what I would do is take a couple of the ones that I had written down that we didn't get to and just lightning round real quick. First answer comes to your head. Name a chick flick you actually like. Bridesmaids.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Oh, that's a good one. That's good. dude, my wife knows this. She hates me for this. Legally Blonde. Such a guilty pleasure.
Yep. No, okay. That's good. Yep.
Favorite sport to watch? Hockey, obviously.
MMA.
MMA. Yeah, definitely. Okay. I got one real quick. Lightning round. Go. Mayo or Miracle Whip?
Mayo. Oh.
Neither?
Mayo. You'd be surprised.
If you have
you'd surprised?
To.
You'd be surprised.
If I had
best
to.
Foods.
Real quick. Favorite condiment?
Ketchup.
Oh, strong.
I guess Trojan. Oh, condiments.
Condiment, yeah, condiment.
favorite condiment? Shit. Mustard.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Favorite childhood board game. Mine is a little weird. We had one called Master Detective. It was like Clue, but there was like 20 suspects. It was an electronic one. It was like a little thing you punched in the numbers and it gave you answers and stuff like that. But I loved it because it was so much more in depth than just the weapon, the room, and the suspect. Mm. It was like, what side of the city was he on? And, you know, all this other stuff. So Electronic Detective, what about you guys?
Okay. Mine was Life.
Oh, okay.
We
certainly really know it wasn't Monopoly because they have a go to jail square on it.
Always landing that fucking thing.
I didn't really have a favorite board game growing up. We didn't really play board games growing up, so we did like the whole Jax with the
Marco's favorite board game was Stick and Rock.
Pretty much. Yeah, we were definitely outside.
Marco's favorite board game was Chase the Iguana.
Pretty much swing from vines. You know, the tag, it's fucking swing tag from vines.
Okay, favorite go-to cocktail?
Oh, Jack and Coke.
Jack and Coke?
Mine's just bourbon on the rocks.
Vodka tonic with lime.
Okay.
It's a crisp and refreshing. And last, favorite Van Halen song? It's got to be Jump.
It's got to be Jump. Yeah. I was going to say Jump. Panama. Or no, Hot for Teacher.
Oh, okay. All right. With Panama.
Was Panama them or was it him?
No. That was them.
That was them.
Yep.
Not just them.
Okay. Not just David Lyra. Yeah. So we got Jump, Panama, and Hot for Teacher.
Because I do love Living in Paradise, but Living in Paradise.
That's just David
Lyra. That's him. Yeah. That's his solo album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we'll end with a tribute to Eddie Van Halen. We should be listen, you guys can't hear it, but there's a Van Halen song playing right now as we close this episode. The hats are still available. The hats are available. We have black, two-tone, gray and black, and then we have OD green. Send us a DM. They're not on our website because it's kind of first come, first serve basis, and we have limited quantities, and I can't set the quantities yet on the website. It's a thing. So just DM us if you're interested in the ball caps. We don't have sponsors, so you know, we keep this going by support from you guys buying patches and buying hats and all that kind of stuff. Do you guys have any final thoughts for this getting to know you episode? I hope this was interesting, and I hope it let people get to know kind of our personalities a little bit. I just thought it would be kind of fun because people don't know the personal side, and I'll give you a perfect example. As I told the story, Matt finally, you know, Marco's got a lot of people on his side, Elote and a guy who, you know, almost shit himself listening to the spanking story.
Respect.
Matt got a message that I thought was hilarious, and it was the guy just sent a message in that says, "Choo choo motherfucker needs to be a t-shirt. That shit is hilarious." So I think I'm gonna put on our TeePublic site. I'm gonna Photoshop some sort of a t-shirt design about the pain train that says "Choo choo motherfucker."
Yeah.
All right. Well, Marco, why don't you take us home?
No.
Yep. All right. Nope. It's done. You got to do it.
Oh God, I suck at this because I never remember. So you can always find us on social media.
Right.
Our Instagram is Locker Room. Is it underscore podcast? Locker Room.
Just look up Locker Room Podcast. It'll come up.
Locker Room Podcast, and then through our Gmail, which is Locker Room Mailbag.
Yes.
At gmail.com.
Right. You doing things.
T-Bone, you got the phone number?
I don't, right in front of me, so we'll skip that one.
Don't look at the phone number.
Put it in the description for this.
I'll put it in the description.
All right. And remember, guys, the last thought of the day is, you know that you've become an adult when you pick up the ice from in front of the refrigerator as opposed to kicking it underneath it to evaporate.
100% nice. 100% true. All right, we'll see you in the locker room.
Peace. Later.